Unity is a healing ministry. That's how we began. That's really what's run through our many years. That's how Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder, who was really maybe you could say kind of the original founder, when she received the words that caused her to do the inner work that healed her disease. And then her husband Charles observed and he followed suit, and soon they were sharing widely with people what they had done and what they had learned and how they had healed and transformed their lives and their bodies and their experience. When I visited Unity in Kansas City, the original site of Unity, I could feel the reality of the stories that I had heard before, that presence of Myrtle very much there. And the stories were that people would come with crutches and other kinds of things, you know, that indicated they were physically struggling, and they would go spend some time in Myrtle's office in spiritual prayer treatment, and they would leave without their crutches and whatever else that they came in with. The power of healing was so essential to what was given into our movement, and it still is today. Myrtle had a time when she recognized a couple weeks before her transition that it was time to go. And so she went around and told people that she would think she felt she could do her work better on the other side. And within a short time, she made her transition. And so she's doing her work over there. And who carries on the movement? All of us. We are the inheritors of the Unity movement, and we are the inheritors of this healing root of our work, our spiritual work. And today, I think there are more and more people knocking on the door of our own consciousness for emotional and mental healing as much as physical healing. And we know, of course, when one gets healed, the others get healed too, so it's not a separation so much. But there is a simple and powerful tool that we can use that is within our grasp, which is within our purview, in our environment, in our surroundings, in our own beings. And it's called holding space. Now, it seems a little counterintuitive. It's like, if you're a literalist, how do you hold space? You can't, you know, really grasp space, and we're not grasping, we're holding. And a holding is the holding open. The embracing is a wide open kind of stance with our hearts and our eyes and our ears and our whole energetic being. Taken literally, it means no sense, but taking it spiritually, it's like, yeah, that does make a lot of sense, because we know what it's like to be witnessed by somebody who can hold that kind of loving space for us to find our own way through our own process, right? And so we can also be that for others. We can carry on this movement by becoming that for others as well. Because no matter the cause, you know, we all have a need to feel our joy and to feel our pain, right? The two are kind of closely connected. If we don't move through the pain, well, we limit our joy. And so it is that sense of the fullness of who we are as human beings being allowed in a space that somebody else can witness for us and hold for us. So whether we are in a state of pain or disappointment, whether we are in a state of joy and celebration, there is this sense that being lovingly and unobtrusively witnessed in our authentic heart space is a rare and powerful gift. And we know, probably everyone in this room can think of times when you have been witnessed in that way, when somebody truly held space for you, or maybe times when you feel like you did that for someone else, and how precious that was. And so we can make this more the norm as we develop our own skill in holding space, because it truly is a skill. And the world sorely needs it. We are all well aware of the incredible pain in the world, especially in Ukraine and, and Russia too, in its own way, in a different way, and throughout the world. And studies show that grief that is witnessed allows the grief symptoms to dissipate more quickly than grief that is processed alone. Yeah, and it makes sense, right? It's just intuitive sense. It's like, oh yeah, of course that makes sense, because we are meant to witness one another. And when we are witnessed, it's all of those pieces that come with that. The fact that we have been understood and seen and heard and not judged and held. We can take in that compassion, the empathy, the love, everything that is there, the comfort, everything that is there for us. And so right now, from where we are in this place, even across the world, we can hold space for an entire nation. We can hold space for our neighbor, our spouse, our parent, our child. We can hold space for someone else who is hurting. Maybe somebody who's hurting who's a person of color, who's dealing with oppression and life-threatening situations, perhaps even, or a transgender person, or someone else who suffers those kinds of difficulties in our society right here, right now. It can be anything from a victim of war. Pain is pain is pain, right? And so we all feel it in some way. And so that gift of being witnessed. So building this skill, it's not something that was taught in school. Did anybody learn holding space in school? Do you have that class, Holding Space 101 and Advanced Holding Space? Yeah, right? Boy, what a different curriculum we would create, right? And probably not in our homes either, that many of us didn't, have the privilege of growing up in the kind of home that had that kind of consciousness where holding space was a norm. You were lucky if somebody listened to maybe something you said in passing, let alone that kind of deep, open-hearted listening. So it takes practice to really become skilled at holding space. This is not an easy thing. This is not if it was like courses, this is the advanced spiritual course that you came to today. Right? So if you're brand new, my apologies, but probably you've been on a journey of your own, so you're right, you're white with us. I had a friend of my sister introduced me to Unity many years ago, and her friend left because she said Unity was too simple. And I thought, man, she just like totally missed the boat. I mean, it may be simple, but it isn't easy because it's all about doing it, right? It's all about living it and walking the talk and embodying the teachings and showing up that way. Hold space for somebody who is broken in that moment. And not make it about you. That's tough stuff. So, what do we do? Over the years, on many different occasions, I have had experiences where my car wouldn't start because the car battery died or some other thing happened and I was stranded on the side of the road or could have been, flat tire, whatever it may be. Locked my keys in the car, I'm sorry to say, more than once. And every time I had AAA that I could call. And what a relief. And every time without fail, they showed up and brought comfort and relief and solved the issue. A lot of you are nodding. I think a lot of you have had this experience, right? And so today I want to look at holding space in a AAA format because it brings a similar kind of, thank God somebody's here, And so the first A is attend, to be attentive. To be attentive to a person or to a group is to listen in an active way, not what we would call autobiographical listening, where it's like, oh, and that reminds me of a story when something like that happened to me, and let me tell you about that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about open-spaced listening. It is about them. And that kind of listening allows somebody to find themselves, right? To find their way back through the stuff to the truth of who they are, or to at least some sense of like, okay, there is some ground beneath my feet. there is a place that I can call home here, that I can revitalize myself a bit in the presence of this person who is holding that expansive divine love all around me, in them, in this very room. So the having the divine physically presenced for someone, which is what we do when we get really skillful at holding space, that, you know, that is just such a gift. Such a gift that we can give one another, such powerful medicine for someone who is hurting. Holding space is not about saying the right thing. You know, we do get kind of hung up on that, don't we? Out of our good, caring hearts, our compassionate hearts, right? We want to say the right thing. I've had people tell me, oh, I didn't go to my best friend's mother's memorial because I just didn't know what to say. And it's like, yeah, but you weren't there, right? It's the presence that communicates. You don't have to say anything, and you certainly don't have to say the right thing. It's the fact that we show up. That's half the battle, right? Show up, pay attention, respond in love. That's what Tom Thorpe used to say over and over again when I was in ministerial school. Wise advice. So when we do this, when we hold space in this way where we are attending, it is about this kind of non-judgmental listening and listening with our whole being, right? Not just with our ears, but really listening and just being with each other, not trying to fix. In Tying Rocks to Clouds, William Elliott writes this tender story about a time he was witnessing his nephew. He writes, "His eyes look at me, with his elbows on his knees. Patrick, who is 13 years old, rests his head in his hands. From time to time, he digs at the floor with the sole of his shoe, as though he were trying to wipe out an unseen spot. His freshly scrubbed hands wipe at his eyes. When he looks up at me, I see an innocence suddenly made old. His father, who is my brother, has just died. Will it help if I tell him there's a reason for everything, but we don't always know why? Will it help if I tell him that when I was about his age, I lost my mother and father too, that they died, and that those losses, because of those, I am able to be here with him and to understand his pain? Will it help if I tell him it was God's will? I have rarely seen a face so alive as Patrick's in this moment," he writes. "I see familiar pain and anguish in his face. It is my face. When he cries, I say, don't let anyone ever tell you a man can't cry. And then we cry together. If he wants to talk about his father for 100 million times, I will listen." That's attending spaciously, listening to others with heart and soul, responding in love to what presents itself. So the first day is attend, and the second, allow. It's really hard to allow what is, especially when there's traumatic things like war going on. It's really hard to just go, okay, this is what's happening, right? And yet it is in our allowing, and really it's in our, and by allowing, I don't mean accepting and saying it's okay, but I do mean confronting what is with eyes wide open, a willingness to look, to see, to feel, to know the pain that is happening in our own hearts and certainly of the people who are most directly affected. And so when we allow in this way, we are not spiritually bypassing the struggles of the human heart. And that's so important. Because the spiritual bypass is the, you know, get to the sunny side as fast as we can, right? And it is where we all want to be. We all want to be dwelling in that joy and in that love and in that light. And we are not devoid of it, even in our pain. But we have to also acknowledge what is present, what is with the person particularly or the group that we are holding space for. And so we won't fix it. We won't try to avoid it. We won't distract from it. We won't paper over it. We'll just be with it, with however it shows up and however it gets expressed. What brings to mind what comes to mind is the movie Lars and the Real Girl. Anybody see that movie? It's kind of an oldie, yeah. In Lars and the Real Girl, Lars has a delusional love affair with a fake girlfriend. And the people in the small town where he lives learn over time how to hold space for him. How to hold space and allow Lars to go through his entire experience of this love affair and to come to the place where he's ready to release her and he can invent his own illness for her. And then to say when it's time to have the funeral. And the town shows up. The doctor shows up when she's ill. The town shows up for the funeral. The minister gives a memorial. I mean, it's really incredible how they hold space for this young man's healing. And the scene that always really sticks in my mind is when three neighbors, women, knock on Lars's door. And they come in with their knitting and their casseroles. And Lars is sitting there eating some of the casserole in the living room with his robe and his pajamas on. And the three women are just sitting there and knitting. And Lars isn't sure what to do. And he says, "Am I supposed to do something here?" And one of the women, as she knits, says, "This is what people do when tragedy strikes. We come and sit with one another." And I would say we knit each other back together in that way. This is what we're called to do, to sit with the pain. Ugh. Anybody want to run for the door? We do, right? And our society will give us every way to do that. Possible. You will get every distraction, every fix-it idea, every solution, every politically ideological, you know, whatever it is. But I want to encourage us to stay with this, to really stay with what it is that we are able to provide as we spiritually hold space. It's potent, it's healing, it's transformative, and it's what the world sorely needs. And we can provide it. We've got the legacy of it. We've got the ancestry of it. We've all had our own spiritual and life journeys of the human heart. We know how to do this. We may not be perfect at it yet, but that's why we're developing our skill. So there's another part to allowing that isn't just about allowing the what is present in the human heart and the pain and the expression of it, but is also allowing the power of spirit to be there. It's not just present moment, being in the present moment with another person, but presencing, right? So it's the divine presence that permeates the moment that we also want to allow to come forward, because that's where the healing energy is. And so if we also allow the bigger picture, if we can hold somebody in the space of their pain and then hold a much bigger picture at the same time, this is where it all happens, right? Where the healing really happens. And so it's that allowing, that finding the capacity within ourselves to open up space so spirit can move through the situation. And that means opening up space within ourselves to become a vessel, to become a channel, to become empty, and allow spirit to be the guide, allow spirit to come in the forefront, and let the rest of our being be in service to it. Let the ego be in service to the Christ. Sylvia Boorstein writes in It's Easier Than You Think, which is a great title, remembering the sphere of the cosmos point of view, remembering Earthrise from the moon, remembering the interconnectedness of beings, all these remembrances make it possible to look more directly at pain. Perhaps it is the necessary perspective for seeing pain clearly, for being able to stand it. And we can withstand it because it is not I, but the Christ within, the divine within that does the work. That was a little poster or affirmation that was at every desk at Silent Unity, our world prayer ministry when I worked there, probably still there. And I can tell you there were many times when my eyes rested upon it while I was praying for someone, and it helped me get out of the way. And that kind of knowing, that kind of grounding in the spirit that we are, and then letting it take charge, it takes skill, it takes work, it takes time to learn how, but all we have to do is be willing. And even give it over to Spirit and say, teach me. Spirit, teach me. Teach me how to be a space holder for a world that needs more space holders. Teach me how to be open. Teach me how to attune. Teach me how to allow. Teach me how to attend. And don't forget to breathe. That song that Tyrone shared about the breath was just so right on for the kind of practice that we can do. There's actually a Buddhist practice called Tonglen that is a similar idea of breathing in the pain of the world, which might feel a little counterintuitive to our teachings, but just hang on, because you are grounded and anchored first in the spirit. And so where you are breathing into is to that spirit that is within you. So it's just pure light, pure love. It's not your personality taking it in. It's you taking it into the heart of you, taking it into that inner room, that place that is filled with light and love, and breathing in the pain of the world, because the power is there to make the transformation. The power is there to transform it into the light and the love that is needed, and to breathe it out and radiate it out from there. And so it's that work of breath. As we breathe using the breath, we can find calm confidence in ourselves, and we can find that spaciousness to get our smaller selves out of the way so the conscious divine presence can do the work. And as we breathe in, remember, 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 it is not I that does the work. So the final step, so that's the allowing, but it kind of flows into the attuning, because the attuning is attuning to spirit. The attuning is attuning to the other person. The attuning is recognizing what's happening inside of you so you can say kind of, okay, stand down, ego, you know, and keep that part of us at bay. It's not a part that we, you know, need to eradicate. We need our egos, but in this kind of work, we want it to take as far back seat as possible, right? And so when there's that sudden sense of, I something like that happened to me, and you want to tell your story, or you want to respond, or you're thinking about how you're going to respond to what the person is saying, or you realize what they said just took you off to some distant memory that you've had, you just bring it back and go, oh no, I'm here to be a spiritual space holder. I'm here to be a channel. I'm here to be an empty space, an open space, so that the divine can do its work. I'm attuned to spirit. I'm attuned to what is needed here. I'm attuned to the energy in this space. I'm attuned to the powerful gift I have been given in this moment to be able to do this for someone else. And so it is that attunement that's very much like the witness tree. The witness tree is a tree that has lived maybe many decades, maybe centuries. Some of them have lived thousands of years that are still alive on the planet. A witness tree has stood all this time watching, allowing, bearing witness. Anybody ever feel like you've been witnessed by a tree? Yeah. That strength, right? The strength, the rootedness, the maybe the if it's a big tree, that sense of power and wisdom that's there, and those outreaching branches maybe providing you some shade or a place to rest. So we can become, think about yourself as becoming like a witness tree when you are a spiritual space holder. It's that kind of gift of presence, of rootedness and silence that really allows the work to happen, the healing to happen. So somewhere out there, someone out there, probably a lot of them, if we begin to listen as Spirit listens, we're going to hear a lot of folks yelling, "Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness?" And maybe you're one of them, right? And there will be someone there to provide relief, especially for those of us who have said yes to the call and done a little bit of the work to hone our skill. And then we can be the ones to say, "I will be your witness." Don't you want a witness for the people of Ukraine? I will be their witness. Will you be their witness? Let's be their witness. Let's not flinch. Let's not look away. Let's look, but let's look with the eyes of love. Let's know that it is not I that does the work, but I am attuned now to Spirit, and I let that love flow through me and heal whoever needs healing. Bring forth comfort to whoever needs comfort right now. Bring a sense of grounding to those who need a sense of ground beneath their feet. So this is the call. This is the call of our movement. This is where we are now. I hope we'll all step in and step up and allow ourselves to ask when we are hurting for this kind of witnessing and to offer it as much as we are able. Let's know it together. Let's speak it together. But most of all, let's embody it and live it together. So let's say our affirmation. I am a spiritual space holder for healing and transformation. So it is.